الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Praying with خشوع. Dua of Attar. O Lord of Mustafa, whoever reads or listens to the 20-page booklet, Praying with خشوع, grant him the joy of prostrating, accept all his salah, and grant him goodness in both worlds. Ameen bi jahi khatam in nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A virtue of sending salat upon the Prophet. On the day of judgment, a Muslim's deeds will become light on the scales. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will take out a piece of paper and place it alongside the good deeds, causing the scales to become heavy. The person will ask, "May my parents be sacrificed for you? Who are you?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will answer, "I am your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and this is the salat you sent upon me. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad." Definition of khushu. Khushu is defined as the action of the heart and the action of the limbs. The action of the heart refers to keeping the greatness of Allah in mind, avoiding the distractions of the world, and to pray wholeheartedly. Actions of the limbs refers to standing calmly, not looking here and there, not fidgeting with the body or clothes, and to not perform any futile actions. Khushu is recommended during salah. Allama Badruddin Al-Aini rahmatullahi alayhi stated, "Khushu in prayer is recommended, ay mustahab." The Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, wrote, "The excellence, light and beauty of prayer is dependent upon understanding, reflection and the presence of the heart, ay khushu." Meaning, a high form of salah is that which is offered with khushu. The Quran states, "Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ." Translation from Kanzul Iman: "Certainly the believers have succeeded, those who are deeply humble in prayers." It is written in Volume 6 of Tafsir Siratul Jinan, page 494. This verse gives glad tidings to the believers that by virtue of Allah's blessing, they are successful in their purpose, and they will remain in paradise forever and be protected from everything undesirable. Furthermore, it is stated on page 496, the believers pray salah with khushu and khudu. At that moment, their hearts are filled with the fear of Allah and their limbs are at still. Praying despite a fire. Sayyiduna Muslim bin Yassar rahmatullahi alayh is from amongst the pious predecessors. He would offer salah with such attention that he would be unaware of his surroundings. One day he was engaged in salah when a fire broke out, but he did not even realize and it was extinguished. Four brief accounts. Number one. The mother of the believers, Lady Aisha radiallahu anha, mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would speak to them and they would speak to him. But when it was time to pray, it was as if he did not know them and they did not know him. Number two, the first caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, stood in prayer like a fixed nail. Number three, some noble companions, alayhim ar-ridwan, were so still when bowing in salah, ay ruku, that birds sat on them as if they were inanimate objects. Number four, some noble companions, alayhim ar-ridwan, said that people will be raised on the day of judgment in the state of Salah, meaning a person will be raised according to the level of peace and serenity one gains from Salah. Allah does not look towards this Salah. Allah does not look at the Salah in which a person's heart is not present alongside his body, crying during Salah. Whenever Sayyiduna Sa'id Tanukhi rahmatullahi alayhi offered Salah, he cried so much that his beard would be wet from the tears strolling down his cheeks. What is inner and outward khushu in Salah? Khushu in Salah can be visible and in the heart. A visible khushu is to observe all the etiquettes of Salah. For example, not looking beyond the prayer mat, not looking at anything through the corner of your eyes, not looking towards the sky, and not performing any futile action. Similarly, not hanging a cloth on your shoulders whereby both of its sides are hanging. However, there is no harm if one side is hanging and the other is on the opposite shoulder. One should also refrain from cracking fingers and other such acts. Inner khushu is to focus on the magnificence of Allah, remove all worldly thoughts from your mind, and pray Salah wholeheartedly. How should we pray Salah? On page 30 of Maktabatul Madinah's Adab-e-Deen, it states, the one performing Salah should pray with an attentive heart and khushu and khudu. Try to protect yourself from the whispers of the devil. Pray whilst observing the inner and outer dimensions of Salah. Keep your limbs at ease and your gaze lowered. Place your right hand on top of your left when you stand. Reflect upon the recitation of the Quran. Announce the takbir with fear and perform a ruku and sujood with humility. Recite the tasbih with reverence, i.e. Subhana Rabbiyal Azim and Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Recite the shahud as if you are seeing Allah. Perform salam with the hope of attaining Allah's mercy. Then return in fear of not knowing whether your salah is accepted or not. And always strive to attain the pleasure of Allah. Hatim Asam's manner of praying salah. Hatim Asam rahmatullahi alayhi was asked about his prayer and he said, when it is time for salah, I perform wudu and then sit in the place of salah until my entire body is at ease. Then I stand for prayer and imagine the Kaaba in front of me, the bridge of Sirat beneath my feet, paradise to my right, hell to my left, and the angel of death behind me. I think of this salah as my last. Then, in a mixed state of hope and fear, I utter the takbir for salah and recite the Quran steadily. A ruku is offered with humility and the sujood is offered with khushu. I sit on my left foot and raise my right foot. Despite praying with great sincerity, I fear not knowing whether my salah was accepted. May Allah have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Admission into paradise. Sayyiduna Uqba bin Amir radiyallahu anhu said that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam standing and informing the people that paradise becomes obligatory for the Muslim who performs wudu well and offers two cycles, i.e. units of prayer, with his inner and outer state fully focused on them. meaning of paradise becoming obligatory. Elaborating on the part of the hadith which states, paradise becomes obligatory, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Rahmatullahi Alayhi stated, paradise becomes obligatory through the blessing and grace of Allah, whereby the individual receives the ability to perform good deeds in this world, remains steadfast upon faith at the time of death, and faces the grave and resurrection without difficulty. The hadith does not imply that the one who does wudu and offers 2 units of tahiyyatul wudu is destined for paradise and no longer needs to perform good deeds. Rather, hadith with such wording mean as explained above. Praying with khushu is an expiation for sins. The 3rd caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu, said that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam say that when the time of a fard salah arrives, if any Muslim performs wuzu well and offers his salah with humility and proper ruku, that salah will be an expiation for his past sins so long as he has not committed a major sin. And this applies for all times and is not specific to any era. Bowing refers to the entire salah. Commenting on this hadith, Allama Abdul Rauf Al-Munawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes that ruku refers to all parts of the salah, i.e. performing all parts of the salah properly with humility. Performing all parts of the salah properly means to offer each part completely whilst adhering to the sunnah, etc. The salah becomes an expiation for minor sins, not major ones. Major sins are not forgiven through salah, as the requirements of repentance must be fulfilled. This does not mean minor sins are only forgiven once the major sins are forgiven. Minor sins are forgiven even if major sins are not forgiven, and this process of forgiveness is not limited to any era. So, if one commits minor sins every day, mu'adhallah, but also performs the fard salah properly, the latter become an expiation for one's previous minor sins. Sinning deliberately. O you who seek repentance, just because salah is an expiation for minor sins, do not consider this a green light to commit as many minor sins as you want, mu'adhallah, thinking that you will be forgiven as long as you pray. Note that committing a minor sin, by thinking of it as minor, makes it a major sin. In some cases, considering a minor sin to be insignificant is disbelief. To learn more about this, read the following questions and answers from pages 385 to 396 of the book Kufriyai Kalimat Ke Bare Mein Sawal Jawab. Definition of sin. Question: what is the definition of sin? What are the minor and major sins? Answer: Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes regarding verse 32 of Surah Al-Najm quoted below. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش. Translation from Kanzul Iman: and those who refrain from major sins and indecencies. A sin is the action the perpetrator of which is deserving of retribution. Some people of knowledge say a sin is the action which deprives one of reward, and others say a sin is an impermissible act. Mufti Muhammad Jalaluddin Amjadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi states, neglecting a wajib act once is a minor sin, provided that one was not excused according to Sharia. Examples include not praying Salah with the congregation, shaving the beard, etc. A minor sin becomes a major sin if it is performed with persistence, i.e. israr, shirk, kufr, and every deed that is definitively forbidden is a major sin. Not offering a definitive obligation like salah, fasting, zakat is also a major sin. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Committing minor sins with israr, i.e. persistence. Question. A minor sin becomes a major sin if it is committed with israr, i.e. persistence. What is meant by israr? Answer. Israr means to fasten tightly, to become firm, and to be inseparable. There are different opinions regarding what is meant by persisting in sin. Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddisi Dehlawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, some scholars say persistence would be to continuously sin and not feel any fear in the heart. According to Fatawa Shami, persistence is to commit minor sins repeatedly without caring about the sin. Repenting from a minor sin removes one from the state of israr. It is narrated from Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the one who repented has not been persistent in his sin, even if he returns to his sin 70 times a day. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi states regarding this hadith, this only applies to the one who has firm resolve at the time of repentance to refrain from committing sin. If at the time of repentance he has the mindset that he will continue sinning, this is not repentance. Rather, it is a mockery of Islam. Mu'adh Allah. Believing sin to be permissible. Question. How is it to consider sinning to be permissible? Answer. Believing a minor or major sin to be permissible is disbelief, i.e. kufr. If it is proven to be a sin from definitive sources, i.e. Quranic verses, mass transmitted, mutawatir hadith, consensus, i.e. ijma of the ummah, similarly, thinking of a sin as lightly is disbelief. Brothers who seek the mercy of Allah, worry about protecting your faith. If Allah forbid we die upon disbelief, we will be ruined. Our pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, took great measures to protect their faith. Here are two incidents highlighting this. Number one, death upon faith. Habib Ajami rahmatullahi alayhi said, the one who dies upon La ilaha illallah will enter paradise. Then he started crying and said, who can guarantee that I will die upon faith? Number two, leaving hell after 1,000 years. Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said he ascertained that there will be a man who will leave hell after 1,000 years. He wished that man was him, because he would then know for certain that hell is not his eternal abode and that he was to die upon faith. After narrating this incident, Shaykh Abdul Wahhab Sharani rahmatullahi alayhi said, O brother, only keep your nafs occupied in worldly matters according to the needs of your faith. It is possible that you could die in a state of heedlessness and face loss in both worlds. Wal-iyadu billah. The topic from Kufriya Kalimat ke bare mein sawal jawab has ended. It was presented with minor alterations. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Individual efforts of an uncle. Dear Islamic brothers, affiliate yourselves with the Islamic environment of Da'wat Islami in order to develop a mindset of fearing hell and refraining from sin. Here an account is mentioned for purposes of encouragement. An Islamic brother from Faisalabad, Punjab was drowning in sin before he joined Da'wat Islami. He was disobedient to his parents, distressed them, disrupted his neighbors, and watched films and dramas. Listening to music was his favorite pastime. Due to his bad company, he was an alcoholic and a drug addict. His uncle, who was affiliated with Da'wat Islami, became aware of this and tried his utmost to help his nephew. One day he convinced his nephew to come with him to the weekly gathering. After the gathering, he sent his nephew with the brothers on a three-day Madani Qafila. Through the blessings of this good company, within 3 days he learnt the method of wudu, ghusl, salah and so much more. He was ashamed of his sins and repented. He was impressed by the good character and friendliness of the people and travelled to Gujarat to participate in a 63-day course. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Stung by a scorpion 40 times during Salah. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that he remembers very well an extremely pious woman whom he saw during his childhood. She was praying when a scorpion stung her 40 times, but this did not affect her salah in the slightest. When she finished, he asked her why she did not move the scorpion away. She replied, "Dear son, you are only a child. How was it appropriate for me to do that? I was busy in a matter concerning my Lord. How could I do what concerned me?" Do not close the eyes whilst praying Salah. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "When you stand for Salah, do not close your eyes." Allama Abdul Rauf Munawi rahmatullahi alayhi writes regarding this hadith that needlessly keeping the eyes closed during Salah is minorly disliked, ay makruh tanzihi. However, if it increases one's khushu and helps the heart remain focused, closing the eyes is no longer disliked. When is it better to close the eyes? It is written in Bahari Shariat that it is makruh tanzihi to close the eyes in Salah. However, if one cannot focus with his eyes open, there is no harm in closing them. Rather, it is better to do so. Looking around during Salah. Looking around during Salah by turning your face here and there entirely or partially is makruh tahrimi, i.e. impermissible and a sin. Having side glances here and there needlessly without turning the face are makruh tanzihi. If this happens rarely for a valid reason, then there is no harm in it. Looking towards the sky during Salah is also makruh tahrimi. Praying Salah as if you can see Allah. A hadith in Al-Bukhari states that Angel Jibreel alayhi salam went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and asked, "What is ihsan?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam answered, "أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك." Meaning, ihsan is to worship Allah as if you can see him. And if this is not possible, know that he is watching you. Allah is watching. O lovers of the prayer, a worshipper should worship as if he can see Allah. This is a special rank for the unique servants of Allah. We ask Allah to grant us this rank. However, It is also an honor to remember in Salah and other worship that Allah is watching. In fact, this mindset should be maintained in every moment of our lives. Indeed, Allah is watching us at all times. This will allow us to refrain from sin, inshallah. The Quran states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Indeed, Allah is a protector over you. How is it to say, Allah is watching from the sky? O you who fear Allah, know that the Almighty is always watching you. It is essential to keep in mind that Allah is free from place and direction. In this regard, note the following from pages 104 to 109 of Kufriya Kalimat ke bare mein sawal jawab. Question: to scare someone who looks at indecent things, is it permissible to say, Allah is watching you from the sky? Answer: no, this cannot be uttered as it is a statement of disbelief. It is written in Fatawa Alamgiri, volume 2, page 259. It is disbelief to say Allah is watching from the sky or the throne, i.e. Arsh. In order to make someone regret their sins, you can advise them by saying Allah is watching. The Quran states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Does he not know that Allah sees him? Greater than performing 1,000 Hajj. Dear Islamic brothers, if only we are always wary that Allah is watching us, it will protect us from committing sin. Imam Abu al-Qasim al-Qushayri rahmatullahi alayhi said that Sayyiduna Husri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, sitting once is better than 1,000 Hajj. This means to focus your entire attention on visualizing, presenting yourself to Allah and acknowledging that He is watching you. May Allah have mercy upon him and forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Needles of fire. If only we developed a habit of being mindful of what we look at. The punishment for looking at things one is not supposed to look at is unbearable. Allama Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi reports, whoever does not protect his eyes from a non-mahram, needles of fire will be put in his eyes on the day of judgment. Protecting one's gaze. Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi reports that someone said to Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, I want to make a habit of lowering my gaze. Tell me how I can make this easy for myself. He replied, keep in mind that even before my eyes look at someone, there is one entity looking at me, Allah. May Allah have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Method of lowering the gaze. It is reported that Hassan bin Abu Sinan rahmatullahi alayhi left his home to perform the Eid Salah. When he returned, his wife asked, how many women did you see today? However, he remained silent. His wife persisted in getting an answer, so he said, from the point I left home and returned back to you, I only looked at my toes. Subhanallah, the pious servants of Allah refrain from looking around needlessly lest they accidentally look at something unlawful, especially when in a crowd. Dawood Tai rahmatullahi alayhi said, pious people disliked looking around here and there unnecessarily. May Allah have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Is anyone watching? Sayyiduna Farqad Safahi Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, when a hypocrite knows nobody is watching him, he commits sin. It is unfortunate that he pays consideration to people not watching him, but he has no consideration that Allah is watching him. The topic from Kufriyai Kalimat ke bare mein sawal jawab has ended. It was presented with minor alterations. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.